Good morning.
Good morning.
It's great to be with you this morning. Appreciate your presence here so that we could worship God together. I was kind of like Mr. Steve. I was expecting a much smaller crowd. I didn't know how many people would be able to get out safely, but I'm thankful that you made it here safely. Hope the week hasn't been too bad. I know that there's been areas that have had water shortages, and I went to Walmart yesterday as I was coming up here to the building, and the shelves appear to be restocked for the most part. And so if you're like us and starting to run low on things, you can probably find it again if you can normally find it. Of course, sometimes our Walmart, for some reason, it has a tendency to exactly what I need is exactly what it does not have. And I think all of us run into that from time to time. You know, it's truly wonderful to be a Christian. It's wonderful to be a child of God, to be one of God's elect, to be a soldier of the cross. And there are a lot of reasons that we could look at, a lot of reasons given for that fact. But I want us to notice one that we've noticed before from the book of 1 Corinthians. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, in verses 19 and 20, Paul, as he's speaking to the church at Corinth, lays out some things that we as Christians are. And these three things that he talks about are three things that we need to be reminded of. Three things that we need to keep before us. Three things that we need to remember. Because these are three very important things that you and I are as Christians, as children of God. Not a very long sermon this morning, but I hope one that will be encouraging to all of us. Three points that we want to notice, and the lesson will be yours. Number one, we are purchased. We are purchased. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verses 19 and 20, Paul writes, "Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit within you, which you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." Paul talks about the fact that we are purchased. We see it there in verse 20 in the beginning of the verse, "For you were bought with a price." We understand the idea of purchasing and owning something. If you pay the price for something, well, then that item is yours, correct? Well, we see here Paul says that you and I were bought with a price. Someone paid a purchase price for us. We read about that idea in Acts chapter 20 and verse 28. As Luke records Paul going to the church at Ephesus and speaking to the elders there, he says, "Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood." Some translations have, "which he purchased." The idea being here that it was the blood of Christ that paid the price for you and for me. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 18, Peter talks about that idea of what was paid for us. He says, "Knowing that you were not ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things, such as silver or gold." You know, if someone's kidnapped and a ransom's to be paid, and we see that a lot in movies and things such as that, you know, there's always the big duffel bag where they put all the money in, and that's the ransom, right? That's the price that has to be paid for the person's freedom, and that's what Peter's talking about here. He says, "You were ransomed. I was ransomed." But how were we ransomed? Well, the purchase price wasn't silver or gold. It wasn't perishable things. It wasn't things that will fade away. He goes on in verse 19 to tell us that it was the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Friends, when we think about things that should be encouraging us, things that should make us walk a little taller, should make us smile a little brighter, it should be the fact to consider the fact that you and I are purchased. That Christ paid the price for you and for me. But not only does Paul talk about the fact that we are purchased, he also talks about the fact that we are purposed. We are purposed. Going back to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and still in verse 20, I want you to notice what he says. He says, "You were bought with a price, so glorify God in your body and in your spirit. What is Paul telling the church at Corinth? He's telling them, you have a purpose. God didn't just purchase you to sit you on a shelf over here. God had a purpose when He had His Son pay that price. And that purpose is for us ultimately to bring glory to God. Now there are a lot of things that we could work into that purpose there that we could talk about. But ultimately the main purpose is for us to glorify God. Going back to Jesus and the Sermon on the Mount, as Jesus is talking to those who are gathered there, remember He said, you are the light of the world? A city that's set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do men light a candle and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And He gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light therefore shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Friends, that's our purpose. That's why we're here. It should be that our life, our actions, our words, the things people that we interact in, all should be bringing glory to God. As you go to Ecclesiastes chapter 12, and of course, in the book of Ecclesiastes, a roadmap that Solomon writes as he looked for meaning and for purpose, trying to figure out why he was here. What was the reason for it all? What was his purpose? And as you come to chapter 12 and verse 13, the very end of the book, he says, the end of the matter, all has been heard. He says, here it is. Everything that needed to be said at this point now has been said. It's kind of like in a court of law, when you reach the closing arguments. You know, in the closing arguments, you can't introduce new material. The closing arguments are really a summation of everything that has already been presented. And that's what Solomon is doing here. He's making his closing argument. He's saying everything's been heard at this point. Here's the end of the matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. My favorite way of translating the end of that verse is, for this is man's all. Friends, that's it. You want to know why your life feels incomplete sometimes? Because you're not fulfilling what God's given you to do. When we're not fulfilling our God-given purpose, then things feel off. Because it is man's all that we fear God and keep His commandments. In Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, jumping to the New Testament, Paul says, I appeal to you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice. What's our purpose? Our bodies, our lives are a living sacrifice to God. Holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Our lives are in service to God. Our purpose is to bring glory to Him. We need to make sure that we're fulfilling that purpose. What are we as children of God? We're purchased with a great price. You know what that means? That means we're important, brethren. That means God loves us. We are a prize. We're purposed. You and I have a mission. We have things that we need to be doing. Then finally, number three, we are possessed. Now hold up, I'm not talking about demon possession. I know sometimes you say, well, if you've seen my kids, then that's not what we're talking about when we talk about possessed. We're talking about the fact that we're owned by God. Going back to our text, chapter 6 in 1 Corinthians 19 and 20. Notice the two phrases, you are not your own. And then at the end of the verse, It talks about the fact that we are God's. Numerous times throughout the New Testament, Christians are referred to and refer to themselves as servants. The word most often translated servants is the Greek word doulos. And it literally means slave. Now, I think most of the time why in our English versions it's translated servant, because especially in the U.S., there's a very negative connotation attached to the idea of slavery, and rightfully so. But that's what the word literally means. It means that you and I do not own ourselves. We are owned by someone else. You see, the truth of the matter is everyone in here is a slave. Every single one of us. The question is who our taskmaster is. We're either a slave to God or we're a slave to Satan. In Romans, the book of Romans, Paul lays that out so very clearly. That you're a slave to the one that you serve. You're either serving God or you're serving the world. And so the question becomes, who do we want to serve? Who do you want to be the master of your life? In Acts chapter 27 and verse 23, as Paul is sitting there, he's on a ship. They're on their way to Rome. Of course, they hit a terrible storm. The ship, it's been days without them seeing the sun. They can't see the stars. They can't navigate. The people are scared. They're thinking they're going to die. And an angel appears to Paul and tells him, look, everything's going to be all right, but here's what needs to take place. And so then Paul begins to tell the people what the angel had told him. And in Acts 27 and verse 23, he says, for this very night there stood before me an angel of the God to whom I belong and whom I worship. Notice how he described it. The God to whom I belong. That's not a new mindset for the Apostle Paul. It's the same mindset that he expresses in Galatians 2, 19 and 20. He says, for through the law I died to the law, so that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. In the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Too often times the problems we have with the Christian life is simply boils down to the fact, brethren, that we didn't die. The times that I have trouble resisting temptation, the times that I have trouble doing what God has told me to do, it's because I get in the way. But Paul says, I'm not supposed to exist anymore. I was supposed to have been died. I was supposed to have been crucified with Christ. Paul would carry that same analogy in the book of Romans in chapter 6. He would talk about how we died, we were buried in the waters of baptism, and we rose up in newness of life. We're to be different. It's not about us anymore. The slave doesn't get to choose what the slave wants to do. The slave does what the master says. Brethren, we don't get to choose what we want to do. We do what God has said. We are a possession of a great God. You want to talk about some things to be glad about? This morning you can be glad that you're purchased. You can be glad that you are purposed. And you can be glad that you are a possession of a great God. But friends, you can only be glad of those things if you're a Christian. So let me ask you, are you? Friend, if you're not, would you make a decision this morning to become one? Do you believe in Jesus as the Son of God? Are you willing to turn from your sins? Are you willing to confess that belief before those who are gathered here? To be immersed in water for the forgiveness of your sins, you can start that new life this morning. Or maybe you have done that. Do you realize this morning, you know what? I took advantage of that purchase price that was paid one time. But I haven't been living according to His purpose. I haven't been following Him like I'm His possession. Friend, why not change that this morning? Turn back to the God that loves you. The God that gave Himself for you. If you need to respond to heaven's invitation, we'd ask you to come right now as we stand and sing.